And the Avengers Creed reads as follows. And there came a day like any other, when the Earth's mightiest heroes and heroines found themselves united against a common threat. And on that day, the Avengers were born to fight foes that no single hero could withstand. Through the years, their roster has prospered, changing many times, and their glory has never been denied. Heed the call then, and for now, Avengers assemble. How many do I have? Any fans of the Avengers, the Marvels series? Okay, a decent amount. I was a little bit worried because sometimes I ask stuff like that in church and nobody raised their hands, and I'm thinking, it's the highest grossing movie of all time and nobody here saw it, but that's awesome. Now some of you kind of like looked around like, I don't want to be the only adult here that says I like watching hero movies, but seriously, the Endgame was the highest grossing movie of all time, and I looked up. So out of the top 20 highest grossing movies of all time, the Marvel series had 7 of the 20. I'm thinking, that's pretty impressive. Something unique is going on here. And I have to ask myself, why did these movies captivate an audience like no others? And I was thinking, is it an escape from reality? Is it that we're just lazier than previous generations, and so now we're gonna watch these movies? Is it the special effects? You know, what is it? And I think, you know, maybe some of all of that's all true, but I think there's something bigger. I think there's something that they caught on to that resonates with your very being. I think it reminds us that we were made for something bigger. We were created for something bigger than what we've experienced. Marvel has created a captivating story of a world that was once good, or at least certainly better than it is currently, and things go wrong. Things go wrong in the world. Kind of sounds like Genesis there, right? But through self-sacrifice and discipline and perseverance, these heroes and heroines, they arise and they restore order. They remind us that life is bigger than us. Things are not as they meant to be. They remind us that there are things in life that are worth living for. They remind us that there are things in life that are actually worth dying for. And most of all, you were created for a bigger story than the one you're living. And here's something they did that I think brings beauty to it. Is that even with all their power, these superheroes are still flawed people. There's a flawedness to each one of them, if that's a word. But in this brokenness and flawedness that they have, they come to a moment of transformation, where something happens in their life and they are transformed. And the beauty in all of that is these people come from vastly different backgrounds. They're vastly different. They are gifted differently, and they bring those abilities together. And when they bring those abilities together, it comes together in one story. It converges into one story that at one point in time was just single stories. And I believe that we are looking for somehow, I don't know if you go through life where you go, now how does this connect to anything bigger? And what they did is they are telling you, I don't know if they know it, but they're telling this story. They're telling this story that things are connected to something bigger. They move from anger and fear to courage and hope. And they do this as they assemble. Now, let me tell you, what does this tell me about kids? You see kids walking around and they have the superhero shirts on, or the Avengers shirts, or the adults that you've spent good money to watch these series of movies. What does that tell me about the community around us? What does it tell me about people? You know what it tells me? They long for a better story. You have a world of people that are saying there's got to be something bigger. There's got to be something better. They long to see flawed people transformed. This is a longing within their heart, or they wouldn't be watching the movies. They long for this. They need to know. They need to know that people can come together from diverse backgrounds and come together for a bigger cause. They need to experience faith, hope. They need to experience courage. They need to know that heroes will assemble. And here's the question I have for us as a church, as a people of God. Will we assemble? Will we respond to the need that is out there, the desires out there, that's actually bigger than a movie? It's about God's grand story. So we're kicking off a sermon series on heroes. And each week, we're going to highlight a biblical hero, plus we will have a video of a local hero, because we want to honor people in our community that are making a difference, that are pointing out to the kids. And it's funny, because I talked to Brian about being a hero. And here's the thing about heroes. They always tell you they're not a hero, right? Which qualifies them to be a hero. But they know that something is bigger. And so today, what I want to focus on, I don't want to focus on one biblical hero. I want to talk about, what does it look like to have an environment where heroes rise up? And then what does it look like when you and I take the gifts that God has given us, where he expects us to rise up as biblical heroes and go out into that community? So what does it look like together? What does it look like when we assemble and follow after God? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, and there should be one in front of you. And if you don't own a Bible, feel free to take that one home. It's also up on the screen, and if you're opening up one of those blue Bibles and you're like me and you're like, I cannot see a word that this says, we do have larger print back there, and we'll have really large print up on the screen. So Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1, and it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. Okay, let me just pause before we go on. The prisoner for the Lord is the Apostle Paul, and he's not on an island drinking a little drink with an umbrella in it. He's actually in prison writing this letter to the church. And I'll give you a biblical interpretation thing here. Whenever you see that word therefore, you need to ask yourself a question. You have to say, what is that therefore? Okay? And so in this case, when he says therefore, he wants you to back up and say, because of everything I've already told you in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and any side conversations we've had, this is why I'm saying this. And so if we back up, it's because Christ has defeated sin and death. I mean think about that. You're walking into this story where Jesus has already defeated sin and death. That's a game changer for me, by the way. Because you're saved by grace, because you and I are the body of Christ, because we are his workmanship, because you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, which tells me a lot. Because I don't know about you. Do you ever step into something and you wonder, okay, do I have what it takes to, you know, what have you? And the Bible tells us you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So whenever you enter that battle, Jesus is telling you, I've given you what you need. You just need to rely on what I've given you. We've been blessed with his Holy Spirit. Because we have the gospel. Because we have God's power working in us. All right? So he's saying, because of all these things, because of God's power working through you, here's what I now have to say to you. All right? So we're up to speed where Paul's at. And Paul says this, he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. All right, I'm going to give you five, as long as I counted correctly when I went through this, I'm going to give you five actions that I believe that we need to take if we're going to be spiritual heroes. If we're going to be the people that God has called us to be, I'm going to give you five. There's more in the text. And so if you come up with me afterwards, I'll say, yeah, I know that was in the text. I just want to point out five. Thank you. That's awesome of you. But I want to highlight five. And the first one is to walk worthy. Now, I want to point out something here to make sure we're not confused. He doesn't say, I want you to become worthy. I don't know if that's a reality in this lifetime. Here's the thing that we need to understand. I don't become worthy of anything. I'm worthy because of what Christ has done. Christ himself, he has taken my sin. He has taken my shame. He has taken my punishment upon himself on the cross. And he has defeated my sin. He has defeated death. And he has risen victoriously. And he says, now I want you to walk. I want you to walk worthy. I want you to walk in light of what has already happened. And I think the Bible tells us, let me back up here. I know of only one way to walk worthy. And that is to take what he has given me and use it. Okay? To take that. And the Bible tells us to walk. Which reminds us of a couple things. One, that Christ has invited us to follow him. Right? He's invited us to follow him. He's invited us to follow his Holy Spirit. And how do I do that? I do that one step at a time. You know what else walking tells me? If I'm walking, I haven't arrived. And my guess is you haven't arrived. The reason why I know you haven't arrived is because you're in front of me right now. If you've arrived, you'd be next to Jesus right now. So we haven't arrived. We continue to walk. This is an ongoing thing. It's about a relationship. Do you notice that? Your relationship, you don't arrive. You continue in that relationship. And when you trip and fall when you're walking, what do? You get up. I mean, after you look to see if anybody saw you fall, but then you eventually get up. And you keep walking. And Paul's going to tell us how to do that. The attitude that we're to have as we walk. Verse 2. That's doing great until this point. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another in love. We're to have humble attitudes towards each other. We're to bear with one another. We are to love one another. And do you know how we could do this? Because I know it's not about me. I don't get to the place and think, well, I've reached the level of worthiness. I do that because of Christ. And therefore, I can be humble. I can have patience with others because I know that God is still working in their lives. The power that has changed my life isn't me, it's Christ. It's Christ working in me. My part is to say, okay, Lord, I made a mess of it. I want you in my life. I want your power working in me. And if we want to boast, let's boast in Christ. Let's boast about what he has done. And Paul says, hey, if I'm going to boast, and Paul had get some credentials. He says, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast of my weakness. Because when I'm weak, Christ is strong in me. Paul continues in verse 3. And he says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Second action step here. Maintain unity. Man, if the church could get this one right. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say create unity. Usually, when you and I create unity, we unite around the wrong things. People crash airplanes into buildings. And we remembered that a couple days ago. They were united. He's not saying create unity. Here's the thing about unity. Unity already exists. Where does it exist? It exists in the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Unity is there. In fact, there's unity in diversity right there. If you want to figure out how to find that, it is right there. You and I don't create unity. We discover it and we walk in it. We say, where's unity? It's here in God. So let's follow after Him. We don't create it, but He says maintain it. Maintain the unity. And here Paul's going to describe what unites us. He says there is one body. It's the church. And the body is made up of many parts. We don't all play the same part. Every once in a while I'll tell somebody, okay, you get to preach today. Like, nope, not going to do that. And that's okay. You know why? Because they're a different part of the body. And we need all the parts of the body working together. He says there's one body, there's one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Unity. Maintain the unity. Don't get thrown off by the little things. You ever do that in life? You get thrown off by something that isn't the main thing. And here's my experience in church. Maybe your experience is different. Usually when there's disunity, it's rarely over something biblical. My experience is 9 times out of 10, it's about my preference versus your preference. And Paul's saying, don't get caught up on that. Stay focused on the mission. Stay focused on the bigger picture. Don't lose what God is doing because you're focused on some side issue here. Just bring it back. Let's be united in Christ. Here's the thing that I've noticed about Jesus. He doesn't fight against Jesus. Okay? You unite in Jesus. Jesus doesn't fight Himself. Verse 7, he says, but grace was given to each one. To who?
Each one.
Okay. Grace has been given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascended on high, this is Him ascending back to heaven, on high, being, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men. So Paul is saying, hey, Jesus rose victoriously from the dead. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He has taken care of your biggest problem. And from that position, that risen position where He's at the right hand of the Father, He says, I give gifts to you. And He has gifted us uniquely. He has gifted us differently. Now, if I want to give you a gift, what's the first thing you need to do? Accept it. You need to receive that gift. It does you no good if I have a gift over there in the corner and I say, this is your gift, and you say, oh, that's nice. I really appreciate it. You need to take that gift. You need to receive that gift. And the first thing we need to do in receiving that gift is we need to say, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for defeating sin and death. By the way, that's a game changer, Jesus. Thank you so much for that. I receive what you did for me on the cross. I receive your gift of salvation. I want to turn from sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. That's the first thing that we need to reset or to receive. And then we have this journey of following Jesus and exercising the gifts that He has given us. We're a lot like the Avengers, by the way. Come from unique backgrounds. We're gifted differently. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So when God designed you, He had good works in mind that he's going to work through you. You are actually God's masterpiece. You ever think of that? I mean, I'm sure at times you're like, I don't know what he was thinking. And that's just me. That's not even you thinking about yourself, right? But he has created you for good works. And you and I, we need to take what he has given and let that work out in our lives. Let's see what some of those gifts are. We'll skip down to verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4. And it says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. What's the purpose for that? It says to equip the saints. Who are the saints? You're the saints. He's not talking about guys that are in a picture with a halo looking thing over their head. Or I used to wonder when I was a kid and I'd look at those, like, why do they have space helmets on when I was looking at those pictures? But anyways, it's to equip us. We are the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, I want you to notice, it seems like everybody's doing something, right? Everybody's involved. So not only do you need to receive that gift, you need to exercise that gift. Use what God has put in you. And you know what? And I really appreciate that because I'm down there and I'm seeing and I'm thinking, these people are so blessed that these people are up here leading the singing and not me. Okay? Some of you those are the most amens I've ever gotten in my life. But we are gifted uniquely and we need to exercise the gifts that we have. And it's saying here, it's saying, okay, Don, you're a pastor. Your job is to equip the saints. You're to equip the Christians so that they can do the work. Right? Pastor Zeph and I, our job is to help people discover their gift and to exercise that gift. And here's the thing, a Christian that is not serving the purposes of God is an oxymoron. It's a strange thing if you go into the Bible and you put those things together. We are created. We're created for those. We need to walk in those. Our lives need to be consistent with the gospel. And I want to challenge you to read this book and you go through and say, is there a disconnect between what Jesus is saying in his word and my life? And if there is, there's something that needs to change. Those are those moments where I need to realign myself to this. I don't need to change this to match up my life. My life needs to realign with this. Could you imagine if you were watching one of the Marvel movies and one of these superheroes, I'm not saying this happened in the movie, it may or may not have happened, but just imagine with me, if one of these superheroes sat at home, unconcerned with what was going on, and played video games all day, and let himself go to waste. Now, if you looked at that, and like I said, I'm not saying it was in any of the movies, but if you look at that, you would say, there's something wrong, right? You're saying, you have all these gifts. For whatever reason, you have been blessed with this gift, and you're not using it. There's something wrong. We settle for so much less than what we were created for. C.S. Lewis said this. He says, we can be like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by an offer of a holiday at the sea. We're too easily pleased. And it doesn't really surprise me. I'm not like, wow, I'm so surprised that people look for less than what they were created for. That doesn't surprise me. But it does surprise me, and even in my own life, is those that claim that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we choose to live less than what we were called to. That surprises me. And I need to come back for that and go, okay, Lord, I need to repent. Because there's something so much bigger that you are calling me to than just a selfish, self-centered life. And if you come to that place and you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, I want to serve God, you know, but I don't know what to do next, let us know. We'd love to walk alongside you. That's why we do what we do. Now, let me ask you a question here. What is being built up when we use our gift? I'll give you a hint. It's in verse 12. The body of Christ. What you and I do builds up the body of Christ. And if we're going to do that, we need to do that together. You notice you can't have unity apart from coming together? You need that. We need to come together. You know what we need to do? We need to do like the Avengers. We must assemble. We need to come together. Church, assemble. All right. Here's the thing. And I found this out the hard way. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. The Bible doesn't know of that. And in fact, you weren't meant to do that. You were designed for community. You go all the way back to Genesis. God said it was not good that the man was alone. Right? And that's not just talking about marriage, male-female relationship. It is talking about community. You were designed for community. It was interesting when I asked Brian. I said, Brian, we want to pray for you as a church. And Brian's the police officer that was in the video. And I said, how can we pray for you? And he said, well, don't just pray for me. He said, pray for the entire police department. He said, pray for the first responders. You know, and as he was telling me that, it reminded me that true heroes know that they need connection with others. They know that it's not about them. It's about something bigger. And he needs the people around him. You and I need each other. That's a reality. We were designed for that. Disciples are like the Avengers. They don't go it alone. They have to assemble. Ed Stetzer, pastor and author, he says this: all throughout Scripture, community is an integral part for carrying out God's mission. God chose to work through people to redeem his world. People reaching people. We undertake the mission of God together because by God's design, there is power in togetherness. So let's see what happens when we assemble and we use our gifts. Verse 13. It says, until we all attain the unity. How many of us need to attain it?
All.
Till we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of a stature of the fullness of Christ. That sounds pretty good, right? That sounds really good. Verse 14, and it says, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. How many of you say, you read that and you go, I want that. I want to come to the fullness of Christ. I want to experience maturity. I want to have a place in my life where I'm not being tossed to and fro from everything that happens. It doesn't happen in isolation. The Bible is saying that happens in togetherness. It's when we come together, where we're united in purpose, where we're coming alongside, we're lifting each other up in prayer, we're encouraging one another. It happens together. And it's by design. God created us to be together, to be on mission, to pursue his purposes together. You and I are to be united against a common threat. There is a common threat out there. The Bible calls him the devil, that doesn't want to see heroes rise up, doesn't want to see the church rise up, doesn't want you to experience mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. Together, we come against that threat. Paul says, verse 15, he says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up into him who is the head, into Christ. There's our main hero, right? There's the hero of the gospel. From whom the whole body, that's all of us, joined and held together by every joint which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, when each one of us, we come together, we do what God has gifted us to do, makes the whole body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what's the result of you and I exercising our gifts? The result is the church is built up in love. And here's something I've experienced over time, and others have written about it. I think there's three things that people, beyond, you know, food, water, and those basic elements. But let me give you three things that people are looking for in life. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. You guys remember Cheers? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Question is, can they find it better here than they can in the Cheers bar? Maybe that's a challenge to the church. And here's the thing. Jesus offers those things freely, right? Love, acceptance, and forgiveness. And you and I, as the body, the church, we're the living organism that is to display that. We're to go out into the world and say, there is love. There is acceptance. There is forgiveness. And it's found in Christ Jesus. Man, he's given us the Holy Spirit to go out and reach a lost and hurting world that longs for a better story. They long for a better story, or they wouldn't watch those movies. That's why we look at those, because that's what we long for, and it tells us this story. Now, here's the cool thing. You don't have to save the world. Pressure's off, right? We don't have to go out and save the world. That's what Jesus does. You know what we need to do? We need to demonstrate what it looks like to be those that have been rescued, those who have been saved. The church is to demonstrate that. Jesus is the one who does the saving. Tim Keller puts it this way. Rather, the church is to show the world an alternative way of living and of being in human community. Or as one of my favorite seminary professors used to say, the best thing that the church can do for the world is to show the world what it means to be the church. Be who you're supposed to be. And you are going to be a light into the world. Because the world is looking for a better story. The world is looking and saying, can flawed people be transformed? Can I overcome whatever struggle is going on in my life? And is there evidence that flawed people can be transformed? They need to see people that aren't united, and we may be united in these things, but we're not united because of our race. We're not united because of our politics. We're not united because of our social economic levels or anything like that. We are united in Christ Jesus. And the world needs to see people from diverse backgrounds coming together in Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is the one that is lifted up. They need to experience hope, faith, perseverance, and courage. And my question is will they see that in the church? Church, you're heroes. You're called to be heroes. Will you all rise? Will you assemble? Because when we do, we'll be like Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Church, assemble. Be the people you are called to be. Let me pray. Loving God, so thankful. Thankful for the Lord Jesus who has given us victory, who has defeated sin, has defeated death. Father, may we be the people that you've called us to be. People that haven't arrived, but walk. Walk after your Spirit. Pursue relationship with you. And show the world what it means to be in relationship with you. Father, have your way with each one of us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're
going to have the worship team come up. And if you're in need of prayer, we will have some people that will pray for you.